feel like a vampire. It's not right, but I just can't give it up. I'll try to get myself higher. Let's go.
Welcome to Bar Cop Radio. It's show number 162, probably. My name's Bart. I'll be your host today. Hope you're having a good day. As you might can tell, we have the slightly new format. That's because I got to thinking that I'm mad as hell not going to take it anymore. That sounds a little like a teabagger talking, and I didn't want to be associated with them. So we're just going to throw that away, and we'll just open up with a song, kind of get in a rock and roll mood, and then we can go attack whoever we want afterwards. What do we have in today's show? Well, I'm looking at it here. It says we got some Eldrick, which you're going to like if you like Eldrick. This is not an attack. I'm going to say some nice things about Eldrick. Of course, if you don't like Eldrick, you're not going to like this. But anyway, what are you going to do? It's also a lot of Haiti talk. We're going to talk about the concert they had a little while back. And we're also going to talk about the problem with Haiti. You know, a little sidebar here. I've heard people say, and it's mostly Republicans, how, why should we donate to a place that's so stupid they don't even put rebar in their walls, their concrete walls? And I'm thinking, well, you dumb sons of bitches, you don't think they would if they could? You think they intentionally built a house that's going to crumble when there's an earthquake? You think they did that on purpose? Are you serious? What is wrong with Republicans? They go out of their way to think of reasons to not donate because the people are black, and they just soon they effing die right there. Gotta make me mad. Oh, and also on this Haiti thing, there's a little bit of Wyclef Jean. Is that how you say his name? Wyclef Jean. They've accused him of something. That pissed me off. We'll get to that later. I had some lawyer problems that I wanted to tell you about. Effing lawyers, always with the lawyers. I don't know. Seems like we'd be better off without them. Then we got this Tim Tebow. I had to get this up. I know it's plenty late, but I had to get this up before the Super Bowl because Tim the Teabagger is going to lecture us with a bloody fetus in his hand. I think that's a bad idea for the Super Bowl. I'll bet you do too. Also, Howard Stern went off on the pig boy. I was able to tape that. Thought it was funny. Got a little Jon Stewart, got a little of this, a little of that. So let's get right to the big, big show. So I sit down and get ready to do show number 162, and I find my notes from 161 that I didn't find last time. No wonder last show. It seems like every show is nowhere near what I intended it to be. But I meant to include something last time. I watched the bowl game with Tim Tebow, and I don't know much about Tim Tebow, but I always kind of hated him or hated just the sound because the whore announcers, they just love the guy to death. Everything's Tim Tebow, Tim Tebow, Tim Tebow. He's the greatest. He's the best. Nye, 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 nye. God, they just drive me nuts. Why don't they just call the game and leave the hero worship to somebody else? Jesus Christ. But they're going on and on and on. You know, I've been hearing this for years. Oh, he's the greatest there's ever been and the nicest guy and the biggest do-gooder, and he's never, ever lost a game since he was 2 fucking years old. He never lost a game. He's just the god of everything, and it's just like, shut up already about the guy. He might be a decent guy, I don't know, but I'm just so tired of hearing about it. So I went out of my way not to watch that game he was in. I guess he plays for Florida, but somehow I stumbled on it. And so I went ahead and watched for a few minutes, and they said, oh, boo-hoo, Tim Tebow, he's going to lose his first game since he was 9 days old. He's won every game there's ever been because he's the greatest ever, and yak, yak, yak. Jesus Christ. And they just keep going on. Oh, sidebar here. You know, I've been bitching about Troy Aikman and Joe Buck for years, and I just realized that I'm probably getting a different perspective than you are. In Oklahoma, all we get are the Cowboy games. That's it. I mean, we'll get something else, too. But every week is the Cowboys. Every fucking week. And every week it's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. And they just go on and on about the greatest team that ever took the field of all time, you know. But I'm thinking if you live in anywhere else, Seattle or Miami or New York or Boston or Chicago or L.A., you probably don't get those two hand jobs every single week of your life. So sorry about that. Yeah, I'm coming at you from a perspective that, I mean, I don't know, maybe everybody gets all the Cowboy games. I don't know how that works. But I just get so sick of the whore announcers. And, you know, there's a chance that that's where my whole political thing came from. I remember when I was a little kid, I was in Little Rock visiting relatives. And Tony Dorsett was playing. So I don't know what year that makes this. But then we talk about how when Tony Dorsett got the ball, he would blast through the line and pick up 2 yards. And I'm thinking, well, dude, that's 2 yards. And then, of course, when the other guy would have a better run, you know, the other guy get 8 or 10 yards, they say, oh, Williams skipped for 6 or something. It's like, hey, fuck you. You either got 6 yards or you got 2. 6 is bigger than 2, according to my good Catholic math. But no, it was always the Tony Dorsett blast through the line to get those 2 yards. Oh, because he's a Cowboy and the Cowboys are so great. And I'm thinking, dude, just call the game. And, you know, that's how it transposes into politics, too, that, you know, if Al Gore kids gets a speeding ticket, well, that means he's a bad parent. But if G. Gordon Liddy goes to prison, that doesn't say anything about his parents. You know, why don't they just call the game, you know, the sons of bitches? All right, anyway, back to Tim Tebow. So he's getting his butt kicked. I forget what the score was in the Florida game. Who'd they play? Texas? Is that how they work? No, Texas played Alabama. Anyway, don't matter. But Florida's playing somebody, and I think they lost, not terrible, maybe something like 30-21, something like that. Anyway, so they put a camera on Tim Tebow, who's never lost a game his entire life, because he's so great. He's the greatest man ever walked the earth. And he's sitting there, he's crying like a little bitch. He's crying, boo-hoo, like a little 6-year-old boy lost his tricycle. He's just crying. Oh, his tears running down his face. I mean, it's not like he had tears in his eyes. And to be fair, he wasn't Bob Dole at Nixon's funeral. He was just crying, kind of mid-level crying. And I'm thinking, well, what a big pussy. What's wrong with him? He finally lost a game. Hey, asshole, welcome to the world. You don't win everything all the time. You know, and it just added to my dislike of the guy. But, you know, life throws shit at you, so that was during the game, so they talked to him after the game. They said, so, you know, Tim, how you feeling? And here you got your ass kicked, and it's your first loss since you were a fetus. And what's on your mind? And somebody surprised the shit out of me. He says, you know, I got to give it to the other team. They're a class act. They're a class team. They played well. They beat us fair and square. I got to give it up to them. They outplayed us today. Maybe we played another day, it'd be different, but by God, they got us today. My hat's off to them, class program, class everything. I thought, well, damn, now that's a real decent thing to say. He went out of his way to get not only say, yeah, yeah, good team, but he went out of his way to say, real good team, real classy organization, all that. You know, he took himself off the pedestal, which I thought, well, hey, maybe he's not as big a dick as I thought he was. And then I opened today's email. Today is Wednesday, the day before the biggest blizzard of all time. You won't believe this now. They said the most moisture they've ever seen ever is coming at right at Tulsa. I mean, this is I don't know if it was the local guy or the CNN, this arrow's run right over Tulsa, the main most water they've ever seen in history. And it's about to collide with the coldest bastard you ever saw right over Oklahoma, right over Tulsa. There's a line that goes from like Wichita Falls, Texas, up through Oklahoma City, through Tulsa, through Joplin, on up to St. Louis. It's right along that line. Biggest blizzard in the history of man. Here it comes for the second time. Used to be in Oklahoma, we get snow once or twice a year, but this can be our second blizzard since Christmas. Help me, God, help me. So anyway, open the mail today, and they say, Tim Tebow and Focus on the Hand Job have teamed up to give us a bloody fetus commercial during the Super Bowl. What is up with that? I don't know if it's all the networks, but CBS has a policy not to run controversial ads in the Super Bowl, but And apparently they're going to run this one. Because, you know, CBS, they got their head up their ass like NBC. What's wrong with these people? You know, these multi-billion-dollar corporations, and they can't fuck up any less than they do. Can you believe that? How often, I know it's not the same, but how often does old Bart fuck up real, real bad? But anyway, NBC just getting over their Leno Conan debacle, which isn't over yet. In 6 weeks, Leno's coming back to screw up the Tonight Show. And I don't know if you heard, but everybody hates Leno now. In the comedy community, he's a pariah, not a word I use much, but it's just like, I see Jay Leno pulling up outside. Everybody be quiet. We'll turn out the lights. We won't answer the door because everybody hates Leno now. And for some reason, Conan's coming out of the smelling like a rose, which I don't get. It might just be he's the guy in the fight that's not Leno. But you remember, Leno took over that job by stabbing Carson in the back. And then after whatever, Johnny was there 30 years, and on Leno's first show, he didn't thank Johnny for the backstabbing that he gave him kind of thing. That's as bad as Jerry Jones firing Tom Landry from the Cowboys and not even giving him a phone call. I mean, Christ, I would do that. And I got the manners of a dog. I would at least think of the legend that took the Cowboys to their first Super Bowl and yak, yak, yak. But no, Jerry Jones, he couldn't think of it. Jay Leno couldn't think of it. So anyway, Jay Leno gets his job by screwing Johnny Carson. And then he sort of got screwed by Conan. They said, you know, Conan let it be known he wanted that job. And it's like, well, we got Jay there. And he's, well, fuck Jay. And so, yeah. Anyway, so that all turned into a nightmare. So now Conan is going to take his extremely unfunny act over to Fox. And Leno is going to bring his now hated act back to NBC. Meanwhile, Dave and Kimmel and others are sitting pretty. Anyway, as soon as they took action to get rid of the Leno Conan mess, which isn't going away yet, I thought, well, maybe CBS can do something about CSI. It used to be our favorite show, but they turned it into the Lawrence Fishburne show, and nobody cares. As far as I'm concerned, he's still beating up Tina Turner. Every time I see the guy, he's beating up Tina Turner. How can he be the hero of the show? He's beating up Tina Turner. Not that she's my favorite, but anybody beats up a woman is a bad man. And I know he's the actor, not the dude, but what are you going to do? He introduced himself to the world as the guy who beats up Tina Turner, so that's how you know the guy. It's funny how that works, but that's how it works. Anyway, instead of adding him to the team, they made him the focus. They turned it, no more Catherine, no more Nick, no more all the other people that we've, you know, not that love the people, but you get to know a team after 10 years, and you get to like them, the back and forth that they get. And then the new guy comes in, and they make it the Lawrence Fishburne show. Well, who cares? CBS, fix thy house. But first, you got to fix this problem. This problem's going to be here a week from Sunday. You know, it's an empty threat. You can't threaten to quit watching CBS if they run the bloody fetus commercial, but that's just a dumb thing to do. Why pick a fight like that? Remember, I don't remember all the details, but they had a movie about Clinton, how he had a chance to get bin Laden but didn't take it, which was just false. And they decided to run that anyway. And then they did a Reagan movie, and someone forgot to say that Reagan was God of all times. So, I don't know, they put it on Showtime instead of CBS somehow. I forget how that works. But they've done some bitches. Why don't they steer clear of the controversy? You know, wouldn't it make a little more sense? I'm in the controversy business. So is a lot of people. The Vulgar Pig Boy, Howard Stern. You know, there's a lot of people that are in the let's get into it business. But if you're a network trying to get 30 million people to watch a particular show, why tell 15 million of them that they're a bunch of ignorant sons of bitches that don't deserve to live? You know, that's just idiocy. But CBS, what are you going to do? But in closing, sorry, I know I tend to ramble, but I had this Tim Tebow, these notes from show 161 that I never got to, saying maybe Tim Tebow isn't the prick I thought he was, but now he's got heartfelt beliefs, and apparently there's some story where his mother was in somewhere, the Philippines or South Pago Pago somewhere, and she was pregnant with him, and they suggested she get an abortion. She said, no, I ain't going to do it, which, you know, in a way, you might say that's laudable, but if you tell your doctor to fuck off, I don't care what your opinion is, then I make you a little stupid. Anyway, so that's his story, and he wants to tell it. Seems like him and the focus on the handjob people could get together and buy an infomercial at 2:30 in the morning like the other insane people trying to hawk their religions. But no, they want the Super Bowl, and CBS, eager whores that they are, I guess they found another nickel on the floor. Ooh, 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 here's another nickel. We can sacrifice our pride and our dignity, but I'm a nickel ahead.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news on Cullendon Lane. Jacksonville, Florida, Chuck Buick finally gave up. Chuck enjoys marijuana, so he decided to accept Paul Harvey's suggestion. He gave up. He went to the phone. He called me. He ordered a bong. Bongs, a pipe used to smoke marijuana. I want you to hear this carefully because you're thinking about a Valentine's Day present for somebody you love very much. Quote, my marijuana bong arrived Saturday, and after I opened the box, I was in shock. My eyes were locked open wide. My whole house was now a concert hall. I went to the washroom, and even from there, it sounded like a real live lady singing right outside the door. Quote, with heat eating your ears, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing, and you've lost track of which way is out. There's a searing ember down your neck. Search, rescue, ventilate. Somebody's singed a kitten. Quote, I'm listening to all of my old CDs again because I have never really heard them before. Now, for that Valentine's Day gift, it's not too early for you to choose a bong. If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back. To locate your nearest dealer, telephone 1-800-282. Bong.
Next up is a little something about poker, but no, it's not about poker. So don't automatically turn it off. I'm watching MSNBC. These sons of bitches. What's wrong? You know, they're supposed to be the counterpart to Fox News, and they go do something this stupid. They did a show. Apparently, they're rerunning it. I've seen it 5-6 times now. Maybe they're running it on weekends or whatever. But it's supposed to be an expose of illegal gambling. And you think of illegal gambling, oh my God. But these sons of bitches, this one of those John Stossel / Fox News fair and balance kind of hand job, hatchet jobs, attack jobs. And it's just so unnecessary. You're not going to believe this. And this just take a second. It's no long due. I start watching this thing. And first they start talking about the evils of poker. How awful it is. And they give a couple of horror stories. You know, this guy lost his house because he gambled it all away. Well, yeah. If you're insane, if you take everything you have and you bet it, hell, on anything, you can bet on a World Series game or, but you know, anything, you can lose all your money. But no, they made that example of how evil the internet gambling is, or illegal gambling was their focus. And then they go right to the dog fighting. So yeah, if you play poker, if you enjoy playing dollar poker on the internet, you're just like Michael Vick. You're out there torturing dogs, setting them on fire, hanging them, forcing them to fight each other, forcing them to fight to the death. That's what you are if you like poker. And that pissed me off. How fucking dare they? Don't they? There's 30 million poker players. That's a tenth of the country. And they just equated them with dog fighters or dog whatever you call those. And that pissed me off. And then they just went on and on about, you know, all the horrors and all that. And, you know, there's some guy. And I mean, all these things, these gambling houses have to be run from Costa Rica or the Bahamas or something, because if it's in America, they'll raid you. You know, because America, we know everything, and our morality is what the whole world's morality has to be. So our governments, I'm sure they're still doing it under Obama. He's continuing the Bush criminalization of poker, even though he plays. All the reporters said they played poker on the plane between stops. But now that he's president, can do something about it. Oh, poker's evil. Poker's wrong. Poker's just like dog fighting. Son of a bitch. But yeah, they had a big thing about some guy didn't get paid because he, you know, who can go to Costa Rica and demand their money? And you know, we wouldn't have those problems if poker was legal. If Microsoft ran a poker site, you can assume it would be semi on the up and up because they have too much to lose. When it breaks out that when the news breaks that Microsoft's been stealing from people, well, we're not going to buy your products anymore. So odds are they won't steal from people. But it's a little like drugs, you know. Buying marijuana is dangerous because the criminals are involved. Well, you're the one that gave the criminals all the power. Sons of bitches. I'm just so mad at MSGOP for equating dogfighting with playing poker. It just pissed me off. It should piss you off too. Son of a bitch. There's no fucking common sense. And I know, I guess all the angry commentators, oh, what's this country coming to? Where's nobody got, you know. But am I lying? Even if you don't play poker, do you think poker people who play dollar poker, should they be equated with dogfighting people? Sons of bitches. Okay, now I'm going to say something about Eldrick, but you're going to like this. If you like Eldrick, you're going to like what I'm about to say. Well, two things. One, wasn't last show. It was the show before that, I think, where I was doing, I figured this Tiger stuff out, not necessarily on my own, because all people were dropping hints. And funny, when I first heard about, I heard it about it at the same time, the car wreck and the allegation that he had a mistress, and you can't wonder if the two aren't related. If he confessed to the wife, or if the Inquirer called, said we're running the story, you want to tell your wife before she's standing in line at the grocery store and sees it? And then he went and told her, and then she went after him with the club. Well, that kind of made some sense. But the thing was, I was doing the show while all this was breaking. So maybe some of you out there wondering what kind of idiot I am for acting like I figured it out when you heard on the news a couple hours ago or yesterday. But no, actually, all that was going on while I was busy on the radio. Matter of fact, I remembered, after I did my thing, I turned on TV. I was like, whoa, and then I came back on and did some updates, but I didn't know any of that was going on. So if you think I was bragging about something that everybody knew yesterday, it was just a cross mismatch of whatever. But the thing I wanted to say about Tiger that you might like is I respect Dr. Drew Pinsky, the addiction doctor, what they do, intervention, and they do celebrity addictions or something like that. And it's probably pretty easy to dump on him. You know, you can call him a fraud and this and that. But I like the guy. I trust the guy. I've never seen him lie. How many times have you heard someone speak now and then for like 10 years and never catch him in a lie? Never see him say something that's real stupid. You know how hard that is? Well, he said that Eldrick is the very definition of an addict. That when you've got a beautiful wife and a beautiful kids and a beautiful home and a career and a reputation and all that, and to throw all that away for an hour of sex with some girl that, you know, you met in a bar. He said that's the classic definition of an addict, that when you do things that you know are wrong, that you know will hurt you, that you know are deadly and destructive and, you know, cause you to lose your kids. I mean, I never have understood that. To me, losing the wife would be worse than losing the kids because I don't have any kids. I can't imagine what it's like to lose the kids because I don't have any. But I can imagine what it'd be like to lose a wife. Ergo ipso facto, I don't cheat on her, never have. But to risk losing your kids and your wife and your reputation and all your endorsements, last I heard, I'm guessing, but I'm thinking Nike now is the last one to stick with him. I heard AT&T dropped him, and, you know, every day goes by that he can't get in front of a press conference and say, I did the wrong things and I'll answer your questions now. It's just like a mountain of guilt. Every day is a bigger mountain. And it's been, 60 days now? So he's got a Rocky Mountain range of guilt piled on top of him. And it's 10 times, 50 times harder to crawl off from under that than it would be if he'd listened to my advice 60 days ago and said, hey, I screwed up. I don't know what the hell I was thinking of. I love my wife and kids too much to risk this. What was I thinking? I'm an idiot. And I'm going to go get me some sex rehab and some whatever rehab and try to hope in my heart that somehow you find a way to forgive me. He should have done that 2 months ago, but instead he chose to hide. And there are some theories that with his dad dead, that, you know, he lost his way and he didn't have anyone to live up to. Apparently his mom's still alive, and I don't know why her opinion doesn't count. Now that dad's gone, he can do all this stuff, but I don't know. You're afraid of disappointing dad, but it's okay to disappoint mom. That doesn't make a lot of sense, but never thought I'd say this, but, you know, poor Eldrick. Have we ever seen someone that high fall that far? But after hearing Dr. Drew say that a man's an addict, he's doing what he, you know, he's trying to survive in his addict world, which is a little like that Artie Lang thing. You probably know who Artie Lang is, Howard Stern's sidekick. Tried to kill himself with a knife. Talk about hardcore. He definitely, it's confusing. But again, we're dealing with a sick mind. He wasn't making good decisions. He's an addict in so many ways. But he clearly was done with this planet, and he wanted off, which makes you wonder, why not jump off a skyscraper? Why not, you know, jump in front of a... There's lots of ways to go. You can jump off a bridge. You can step in front of a subway. You can shoot yourself in the head. Seems to be it would be a whole lot more fun than plunging a knife into your stomach 9 times. Ugh! And how do you come back from that? How does he come back on the show and say, boy, I guess I screwed up. Well, that won't happen again. What's new with you, Howard? I mean, how do you come back from that? Weird to think about. Fortunately, I've never had to deal with an addiction that caused me to risk all, or whatever the phrase is that Dr. Drew used. But, you know, I guess I can sort of see it in a way, but I don't know. How bad do things have to be if you're going to plunge a knife into yourself 9 times? And for Eldrick, maybe that's what he feels like now. I mean, think where his head is to be arguably the most respected athlete on the planet. Is that a stretch? Probably not. And now he's the scumbag that let everybody down. I mean, if I was him, I would, maybe you're automatically on suicide watch when you go into one of these rehab places, but can Tiger come back? He can come back faster than Artie can, but I don't know. It's just so weird to be stuck in that hell and wonder, where's the bridge? How do I get home? How do I get back? I'm glad I ain't either one of them. Did you see the big concert for Haiti that was on Friday, somewhere around maybe the 23rd, I forget. It was the big Friday. It was on every damn network. It was on maybe, what, 20 networks or something like that? Pretty amazing. And Jesus, who but Clooney? I don't know how big it was, kind of billed as Clooney put this together. Boy, he must have the Rolodex up there with Clinton and Bono, you know what I mean? The idea that he can say, let's do a concert for Haiti, and pick up the phone and have Bono and Springsteen and Madonna and all these other people say, sure, whatever you say, boss, you're the man. That makes him the like the real-life Ocean's 11 guy. But first up was Alicia Keys, who I like, especially when she's got her hair from Earth. She's very attractive. But then she sits down and she sings the dumbest, slowest, most boring funeral dirge in the world. Hey, lady, we got like 200,000 dead. Do you think singing a dirgy funeral song is really what we need? And she opens the show. You'd like to think, you, the listener, you, the viewer, you've probably been to a couple of concerts. And, you know, they don't start off a concert with the slowest, sad dirge you ever heard of in the world. But that's what she did. Yeah, way to go, Alicia. Kick it off. Of course, I can't tell you what the name of the song is because they didn't mention it. And they didn't mention who she was. That was a continuing problem out the night. I know most of the people in show business, you know what I mean. I know the famous ones. But there was a couple of times when I had four dudes standing there. Hell, maybe it was Coldplay. I don't know. It was another one of those slow funeral dirges. What's wrong with them? Why did they do that? I mean, I know it's a tragic, horrible situation, 200,000 dead. But isn't this supposed to be, to some degree, a party? I mean, there are some, you know, you go to Louisiana. When they have a funeral, they don't all dirgy, dirgy, dirge. They go ahead and whoop it out and, you know, wail a little bit. But no, they just... It was just so dumb. And you know, the worst part, little sidebar here, they do that shit on New Year's Eve, too. Dick Clark and whoever else, they hire these. Why don't they tell them, do some up-tempo songs. Do a song with some life in it. It's goddamn New Year's Eve. Don't come on with your Coldplay ballads about your dog died. No one cares. No one wants to hear about your dead wife or your dead dog or your dead career tonight. Why don't you entertain us? You're an entertainer. You're on TV. See that round thing with the red light? That's a camera. Why don't you pretend there's millions of people watching and entertain us instead of acting like a dick? I hate when they do that. Next up was Bruce Springsteen, and don't hate me. I know you Springsteen lovers. He's like Obama to some people. He's just the god of all. But, you know, he came out and did one of them Tom Joad songs. I mean, I have to assume, again, no titles, but he came out acting like Arlo Guthrie's dad, just, you know, I got $5 and an old guitar, and I'm just a broke dick on the road, and of course you want to hear me sing off-key, right? I don't know why he does that. He's got not a good voice, but he's got a decent rock voice. But then he decides to go country, like Chrissy Hynde or something. Why did they do that? You know, a guy hits the top, and they think, well, I know, let's do a country album. Well, yeah, perfect. Why don't you do some kind of Korean album after that? No, he wouldn't want to do no rock and roll. Can't have that. Bruce was there, didn't like his song. Sorry if he liked it, but then came Stevie Wonder. Now, I like Stevie Wonder. I like him a whole lot. And you know, one way you can really appreciate Stevie Wonder is after you watch American Idol and you see some people butcher his songs, and then you hear, you know, now you're on the, you're in your car or something, you hear a Stevie Wonder song comes on, you think, damn, that guy, he knows how to sing. He really hits the notes. But no, he wasn't hitting them this night. All I could think of was, and it sounded like they were torturing Stevie Wonder. Now, torturing a blind guy is just so uncool. But he was up there just making the weirdest noises. Like, no, no, Stevie, I've heard you sing. You can sing real good, and it sounds dumb, but he can get right exactly on the note. I mean, some people, my good friend Frank Sinatra, he would fish for a note. But Stevie Wonder, he'd go right to it. He knows where it is. He's blind, and he can find the note. But he wasn't finding the notes tonight. Then, there's a big surprise. Shakira came out, and she left her hoochie-coochie backstage. I've never seen her sing a song before without the hoochie-coochie, or whatever you call that, where she does her hips back and forth. And, don't hate me, but she's on this thing now. She didn't do it at this show, and I'm real glad. But I saw her a couple weeks ago on like one of the late-night shows, and she was dancing like Elaine on Seinfeld. You ever seen Elaine, that episode? She was dancing like that. And Shakira's a real attractive woman, real sexy woman and all that. And when she does the regular old hip grinding thing, that's, I think, way sexy, but she was doing some weird thing. Then John Legend came out and sang an extremely slow and horrible, boring, dirgy funeral song on the piano. I understand if they said, show a little decorum. Don't come out cracking wise. You know, don't come out, be a dick. You know, I get that, but come out and be extra boring and extra, oh, why would they do that? These people, aren't they hurting their careers when they do that? They should come to me and say, Bart, will you run our next dirge, funeral, marathon, telethon thing? I would help them out. Then Mary J. Blige came out. Again, don't know the song, but in my book, she can do no wrong. She didn't sing a slow funeral dirgy thing. It might have been a respectful kind of song. I don't know. But I like her. I like her voice. I like her whole everything. If she's on TV, I'm watching it. Next up was Taylor Swift. And have I told you this before? I don't get Taylor Swift. She's like 16 or 17 or something, so there's none of that. She sings country, so, you know, it's all crap to me. She, I guess, plays enough guitar to be able to write songs, but can anyone explain Taylor Swift? I just don't get it. I don't see the talent. I don't see the beauty. I don't see the performance. I don't see anything, yet she's the hottest thing that ever walked. Next up, Christina Aguilera. She's not like Mary J. Blige. You know she's going to be good. You just know she's going to be damn good. She's one of those people that can be good and not try. And that's not true for most of the people in show business or in the music business. Oh, there's a funny moment. They cut to Julia Roberts answering the phone. And I realize these people have to sound sincere, but it's so dumb. She's on the phone. Oh, how old are your children? You know, some lady calls in with a $20 donation. And she figures she gets Julia Roberts for the half hour. So she's got Julia Roberts on the phone, and Julia Roberts said, so how old are your children? It's like, oh, 7 and 9. Those are great ages for kids. It's like, yeah, whatever age she was going to tell you, you were going to say, oh, that's a great age to have kids. Yeah, sure. All ages for kids are super great. That's why I have 10 or 15 of them myself. Then that Vampire Patterson guy come out. He showed up and mumbled a couple lines. I didn't understand a thing he said, but I guess if I was a 15-year-old girl, I would have thought that was the highlight of the night. Oh, no. Next up was Sting. Oh, God. Take every bad thing I've said about every performer, and there's Sting. I mean, he's, I assume, a decent musician. And to his credit, he came out and he had some kind of Dixieland, kind of some kind of band. At least it wasn't this crap we've been getting from more than half the performers coming out with their funeral dirges. At least Sting came out with some kind of something. I don't know. Some label. I wouldn't know what kind of label to put on it, but it wasn't funeral dirge. So thank you, Sting. Next up is Beyonce. You know she's going to deliver. She's like Mary J. Blige, Christina Aguilera. She's not going to show up and screw up. She's going to show up. She's going to look good. She's going to sing good. She's going to belt it out. She's going to let you have it. Boom. Beyonce. Yeah, I would have liked to bought some Beyonce stock years ago. You know, I remember back when she was with that girl group, whatever it was. I had some advice. Don't know if she took it, but I told her, girl, you don't need those other two. You don't need to be splitting no checks three ways with nobody. That's crazy. That's like that Nicole Scherzinger and the Pussycat Dolls. She needs 10 or 12 Pussycat Dolls like I need 10 or 12 monkeys climbing around my office when I'm doing the radio show. You know, there are some people who are just spilling talent all over the place. The idea that we're going to share our check five ways with some kids I knew. When I just don't understand that. Next came Sheryl Crow, and I thought, oh, hey, there you go, Sheryl Crow. Everybody likes Sheryl Crow. Then I noticed she's sitting with Kid Rock. And boy, I had the cable people install a hyper fast forward button on my. When I see Kid Rock, I am so far gone. If there's anybody less deserving in show business, I can't tell you who it is. Kid Rock, useless, worthless, Clinton hating, teabagging, redneck, Republican piece of shit. Oh, they just travels with a gang, and so he can beat up people at an IHOP if somebody looks at him wrong. Yeah, what a man, what a man. That's why now and then you see me run that, there's a graphic I have with Pam Anderson and Osama. I always run that saying, here's Pam and her. And, you know, he divorced Pam Anderson because she was in the Borat movie, which to me sounds kind of dumb. It's like, hey, ain't no bitch of mine going to be in no, well, yeah, I ain't your bitch anymore. That's how that works. Bye, dude. Okay, next up, Big Dog comes out, and nobody was allowed to introduce anybody. They came out and they said their piece, and then they kind of did a shift. That was kind of weird. It was kind of spooky. I don't know why Bill Clinton could have said, ladies and gentlemen, Madonna, but boom, there you go. Steal the show. Madonna comes out doing Like a Prayer. Got a choir that looked like Haitians behind her. I guess that's a racist thing to say. You know how racist I am. But they were extra dark skin. Oh, and a bunch of them, 40 or so singers. Very well put together. I mean, this wasn't 40 people they got off the street. It was must have been some choir of some kind. But they came out, did Like a Prayer. The song that the Pope, I don't know if he excommunicated her or censored her or banished her or if he just had a bitch. And I guess it was the previous Pope. Not the Hitler Youth Pope, the child molesting Pope. Well, they're both child molesters. But they had a real problem with Madonna using religious imagery in her art, which is real stupid because she grew up Catholic. I mean, what do you want to use a menorah and a yarmulke for religious imagery? What does she know? Besides the bloody Jesus on the cross, she grew up Catholic. Christ. I remember back in college, I had a Christian roommate, and he said sometime, you know, he did something. He said, if I do this with you, would you agree to go to church with me one time? I thought about it. I said, I'll go to your church. I'll wear a suit or whatever, a jacket, and I won't make fun of it or nothing. Okay, I'm like 18 at the time. Hadn't been in very many other churches because everybody I knew that either got married or died was a Catholic. So I'm in this church for the first time. I forget what denomination. I'm going, hey, where's the big bloody Jesus? You can't have a church without no 7-foot bloody Jesus hanging there. And then I got to think about it. Well, that's a weird thing to, you know, let's go worship the big giant bloody carcass thing. It's like, ugh. They couldn't have thought of a better system. They could have come to me when I was 8 years old and said, Bart, we need a little better system. Can you tweak us here? Can you kind of help us, help the church kind of get on a track that might attract more people than repel? I could have said, well, yeah, get rid of the big, giant, bloody carcass hanging there. And no disrespect to Jesus. I mean, he didn't die for my sins. Can't we hear the story and in our mind get an image? No, you get the giant thing hanging there. It's like, okay, can I just look down? Do I have to look up at it? But anyway, the Pope's got a big, big problem with Madonna using some crosses. I forget what was in the video. Pope's got nothing to do. He's like a Donald Wildman. He's got nothing to do but sit there and bitch at other people. Hey, Pope, you're running a ring of about, what, 200,000 rapists in your little club? Why don't you work on that? Let Madonna alone. How about that, Mr. Pope? Next came out Justin Timberlake, who I try not to like, but he is kind of likable, you know what I mean? Of course, everybody hates him for being the guy that banged Britney, not that I was going to bang her and he got to her first. That's not what happened, but Britney's walking around, I'm a virgin. You know that wasn't going to last. And then as soon as he got her, it's like, I'm moving on, honey. It's like, oh, no. But anyway, you try not to like him. But he came out, did that Hallelujah song. That's probably how you say it, by that, you know, that one guy. Someone else wrote it, but then this Leonard Cohen, maybe is his name, he redid it in the real good version. He came out, did one of those. But he, like on American Idol, he put his own thing on it. He made it his own, you know. Sang it real, real good, too. Very hard song to sing in that you had to get real tender and really precise. You know, you couldn't just. Saw Mick Jagger sing a song the other day from a 1981 tour. He was trying about 10%. Saw him singing Brown Sugar. Oh, it's available, love. He put about as much into it as Dylan did, which is none at all. Jagger, you could pick out maybe two words per sentence. If you're not going to try, dude, just stay home. That kills me. But anyway, Timberlake really, really did the song very, very well. And he was smart enough, he left his dick in a box at home. That was a good move. He's been in show business long enough to know that tonight's not dick in a box night. That was good of him. He sang a song with, don't know, didn't know the guy's name. And they didn't, would it have hurt him? Would it have hurt the evening if they put up a, the next performer is this guy and he's going to sing this song? Would that hurt anybody? Because, like, you know what I say, when four strangers come out, it's like the damn FM stations. When they play Aqualung or Stairway to Heaven, they said, that was by Led Zeppelin. You're going, oh, really? And then they play some new song you never heard before, and then they go to commercials. Like, well, dude, when I needed some information, you weren't there. When I already had the information and had it in 71, now you're repeating shit that's 40 years old. What's wrong with people? Next was tough. Next thing up, there's Muhammad Ali sitting there in his frozen, broken body. And Chris Rock said that Ali's people contacted him, asked him if he would read Muhammad Ali's statement. And he said, of course he's going to do that. I mean, who's going? What black person is going to tell Muhammad Ali no? You know, the teabaggers would. Fuck that nigger. But no, anybody, whatever, between the ages of 30 and 50 and 60, got to show Muhammad Ali a little respect. Poor guy trapped in that worthless body now. And we don't know if that was genetic or if he got it from fighting. At least I don't know. Sad to see Muhammad Ali in that condition. But Chris Rock, again, he apparently didn't have the freedom to throw a little humor in there. You know, just, and I'm not looking for a Larry the Cable Guy kind of humor at this somber event. But, you know, you can, I mean, we've all been to funerals where they crack a couple of jokes that are appropriate. You know, that's how things are done. But for some reason, everybody was hands off this night. Next up, Jennifer Hudson. And oh, please, God, let this girl have a better 2010 than she had 2009. That's got to be tough to go through that. I guess the good news is you think, oh, fuck, I'll never have another year like that again. So I had a really bad year when I was a kid. Hadn't had hardly a bad day like that since. So maybe in some way it inoculates you, but you don't want to get inoculated when they wipe out your family. Next up, here we go, big guns now. Bono, The Edge, Jay-Z, and Rihanna sang a song, something about We Won't Leave You Stranded, which was good. It was kind of up-tempo. It met the moment. It had in the song what I think they wrote it, so probably so they could donate all the proceeds instead of, you know, if they grab an old song from 85, they can donate a piece of it or whatever. But I'm guessing by writing a song for the occasion, they can donate all the money, the songwriting money, the performance money, the singing money. You know, they divide a song 25 ways. And if you're the guy who wrote the song and performed it and played on it, you get like 80, 90% of the money. And that's what they did. Leave it to Bono to think of a way to give the maximum amount of money and all that. Bono, he's a great man. He's a great performer too. But if he could no longer sing or perform, I think he'd still be a great man. Oh, here we go again. I'm about to piss off a bunch more people. Got a niece in St. Louis. Her favorite band in the world is Dave Matthews. I know Dave Matthews has good politics, but if you don't have an electric guitar, I don't even want to hear you. I'm sorry. I'm prejudiced. I've made up my mind before. If you come out with a happy guitar, I just don't have an interest. Sorry. Dave Matthews comes out with Neil Young, who's another guy I like, but, oh, God, they did a song like another one of them Tom Joad songs. It's like, really? Is that 30s stuff coming back? Is that the new rage now? Or are all the kids hopping to that 30s, 40s kind of music about, oh, the grapes of wrath and the giant dusty cloud? I mean, who fucking needs it? Give me some rock and roll. Give me something with some balls on it. Something with some drums, maybe a guitar, maybe a singer. Boom. Give me something. But no, they came out. The only thing worse than one guy doing is two. Okay, closing up here because it's 45 hours I've been into this. Then the last guy, I assume, was Wyclef Jean. Is that his name? And we need to talk about this now. You talk about a political son of a bitch. Piss me off. He's from Haiti. I'm assuming he's the biggest name from Haiti. And he's got a foundation. And when he found out there was hundreds of thousands of dead people, he thought, well, this might be a good chance for my foundation to step in, and I don't know what foundations do. I suppose they raise money and do stuff. But somebody, it seems like it's always Fox News, somebody accused him of stealing the money. Now, go figure. Sons of it, do they hate black people that much that they see white people getting out of their wallets and they say, oh, you might not want to do that. You don't know where that money's going. You know, Bill Clinton probably playing with his cock with that money. You sure you want to be giving that money to the, and it's like, well, what are you doing? You got 200,000 dead. And there's Fox News or whoever this was making an accusation. And of course, horse CNN jumped all over it. They thought, new drama. Oh my God, breaking news. Wyclef Jean stealing money? You decide. Well, no, you sons of bitches. If you got proof that he stole the money, then by all means, bring it up. But if some asshole makes an accusation, why don't you wait a minute to see if it's true before you broadcast it to the whole fucking world? What's wrong with people? Ah, Jesus, don't ever stop. But I can't believe they do that. There's no such thing in this country anymore as responsible journalism. Some asshole makes an accusation, and maybe there's something to it. I don't know. I haven't heard. But if there is something to it, then he should be beaten badly and thrown into prison. But if he's innocent, which I assume he is until I see some proof, remember, I'm the idiot that thought that Scott Peterson, there should be some proof against him. And I thought there should have been some proof against Paris Hilton. And anytime you can throw someone in jail, seems like a little bit of proof wouldn't be a bad thing. But without even hearing you, I'm sure you're agreeing with me right now. And I don't know a thing about Wyclef Jean. I know he's respected in the music community. I think he's a friend of Bono's. I don't know anything else about him other than he's a performer with a reputation and his whole world just got fucked. And here Fox News or whoever it was, you just have to assume it's Fox News. They jump right on him with, how do we know this money is really going where you say it is? We think you're stealing the money and boom. Now he's got to stop raising money. He's got to stop delivering food and water and all that. Defend off these accusations, you sons of bitches. Let me get to the second part of Haiti. I don't understand this. I don't mean to criticize Obama with this, but you have to ask, what the fuck is wrong with America? I would bet all kinds of money on it that I could do it better. How can it be a week or two and those people still have no fucking water? They have no food. They got nothing. How is that possible? You got people over there. I'm not going to tell you the horror stories. You probably heard them too, but things are real bad over there. And they say, well, we can't deliver the food because there's mobs. Well, hey, you got an airplane, asshole? You could fly over the mobs and push out these little 5-pound bags of groceries and bottled water. You know, you can't drop 2-ton pallets or whatever they're called because they'd crush people. You know, you see a thing coming down, you want to get near it, and then a 2,000-pound thing lands on you and kills you. You survive the earthquake and your house crumbling down. Then America kills you with their 2-ton pallet. Well, no, you could fly over with 5-pound bags of whatever you have, water and supplies and some power bars. I don't know what they need the most over there. They need a bunch of carbs right now and clean water. But they say, oh, I saw stacks of it sitting on the side of the runway at the Haiti airport. And they got guards standing around saying, you people come back later. Well, hey, fuck you. I've been without water for 10 days. I'd kind of like a drink if you don't mind, Mr. Soldier. So why can't they fly over, drop these little parachutes, and don't act like that's a joke. I'm trying to think of what I saw. I saw something the other day. I can't think of what it is now, but they had little, you know, say about the size of a plate full of food, and it had a little bitty parachute on it, and they were throwing them out the windows of a plane, and it was floating down to the people. That's so easy to do, and idiots can do it, and it takes no money. All you got to have is a plane and a couple of $1 million, and you can do it for breakfast. And here it is, days and a week or two went by, and they're just now getting some water over there to them. You know, forget the food for a minute. What is it like to go 24 hours without water? Or 2 days, or 3 days, or 5 days without water? To go through that for weeks and weeks, and at some point you can't talk. You know, you got to have enough water in your mouth for your tongue to move around and that, and you can't fucking talk without some water. So how these people go weeks without it, and to think that, you know, one Walmart in America couldn't feed all of Haiti, but, you know, one Walmart is going to have, whatever, 20, 30,000 bottles of water. You don't think Walmart could be talked into, you don't think Clinton and Bush could call Walmart and say, can we have every bottle of water you have and you can order some more? Would that work? And they'd say, yeah. And they could have a ship full of bottled water over there. You'd think in 48 hours, what's wrong with them? They can't do that. And I know it's a little different for Bush because they weren't, Bush wasn't delivering overseas to a starving millions. You know, all he had to do was drive a truck into New Orleans. These people, they had food yesterday or the day before. So they weren't mad dogs scrambling for something to put in their stomach or some water for their mouth. So, yeah, it was a lot worse and different in Bush's case. But you're trying to tell me America can't figure a way to deliver some little packets of food and water? I saw a headline that pissed me off. Oh, God, it pissed me off. U.S. hoarded a, I mean, it's not their fault. In this case, they just reported the news. But their number one headline was, America drops 14,000 meals to the starving Haitians. And I thought, are you fucking kidding me? They said there's 2 million people in Port-au-Prince, and 200,000 at least are dead. So you got 1.8 million starving people, and you drop 14,000 meals to 1.8 million starving people? That's so less than 1%. Look at big, bad America, richest nation in the world by far, and this is like 10 days into it. We managed to drop less than 1% of some food to these poor, starving people. Oh, I'm so proud to be an American. Why can't they have 10 planes sitting somewhere, say, Andrews Air Force Base? Why can't you have them just sitting there? And when you hear that there's been an earthquake or a tsunami or something, you get 100 people. It takes 6 hours to load the plane. Plane takes off. It lands less than 24 hours after you hear the news. Why can't we do that? There's no reason in the world other than every time it happens, act like, oh, wow, we should put a plan together. I know. We should appoint a committee to appoint a panel that'll look at some steps we can take for the next thing, and they'll report back to us in 6 years. Well, fuck you. Why can't they just get something right? Oh, it's just so maddening. And I'm looking at the TV, and I'm watching these kids going around begging for some water. Hey, Mr. Cameraman, any chance I could get a sip of water? I haven't had water in 2 weeks. God damn. Why is it so hard to do the obvious? If you were trying to stop it, if the Red Cross was flying over Haiti, throwing 5-pound bags of food and water out of an airplane, and you look up and you see thousands and thousands of little parachutes dropping these 5-pound bags, you can't stop that. If you're dropping a couple of thousand 5-pound bags, it's not like a bully can come along and grab all of them. No, you can only carry maybe 6 or 8. You know, you might grab a couple of bags, try to take back to your family that's standing next to your former house, but you can't steal 1,000 bags because you got no way to carry it. So you can't monopolize the food. You just dump all this food and water all along the countryside or on the coast or wherever it takes. You can't stop that plan from working. Gravity's going to work. That food's going to land intact. It's not going to bust open. The people are going to tear into it. They're going to eat it, and they're going to drink it, and they're going to think, thank you, America. You did us as big a solid as you can do a starving, dying person. But no, we can't figure out a way to do that. Just makes me wonder, what the fuck is wrong with us? Oh, I wanted to add some little sidebar here. I mentioned in that long, long rant that I thought Bono was not only a great entertainer but a great man. I read somewhere that in their big tour, they had a bunch of volunteers show up with this lady from Myanmar, used to be Burma, I think. Seemed like she was elected to rule the country. It might have been 91. So for 20 years, she's been under house arrest. They won't let the legally elected president govern the country. So Bono made a thing out of it during the big show, you know, with the giant claw and the 80,000 people watching and TV cameras, everything else. You had these volunteers from Amnesty International come on stage with a cardboard cover of this lady's face, and they had candles wherever. It was kind of a symbolic thing, but if you're in the building, you have to say, what's that about? What are they doing? Who's the lady, and what's the deal? You end up getting a little bit interested, or at least, you know, raising awareness is what they're doing. So I read this week that the government has agreed to let that lady out this November. Granted, that's 10, 11 months away, and they might shoot her in October. Anything can happen, but she's been stuck in her own house for these 20 years. Nobody thought to say anything about it. Nobody. I never heard of the woman until I got to the U2 show. She's supposed to be let out of jail. I don't know if that's to assume the throne or just free to move around or whatever. But, yeah, how about that Bono? He sees an injustice, and he could do what all the Republicans do with their money and say, fuck her. That ain't my problem. I'm going to go buy me another new jet. You know, but Bono, who can have all the new jets he wants, he decides to put his time and money behind an injustice that he saw and didn't like. The other thing about Bono, it's not like he goes to Poughkeepsie, Mississippi. You know, no. He takes that message to Oslo and Prague and Sydney and Tokyo and all points in between. And so pretty soon the whole world knows that Myanmar, the military over there, is fucking their president. And anyone that's got a passing acquaintance with freedom or free elections knows that's wrong. And so Bono decided to do something about it. And I assume it's due to him that this lady's going to be let go. How about that? Bono, you're a good man. Shout out Chinako to you.
Welcome to the EIB Network, Excellence in Broadcasting. I was thinking about Rush Limbaugh. Like, you know, people now more and more in radio are videotaping their shows and putting them up on the web.
Yes.
And the guy said, you know, Howard Stern and Howard TV, they do such a great job. You know, it's there's so many, you know, you got so many camera angles and really high quality cameras. Howard TV has a set design. You know, so they dress it up. And then he starts talking about how, like, other, like, small radio stations, if they want their fans to see them, should they show the whole show? Should they show highlights? And what kind of cameras they can afford in these small markets? And finally, the guy starts talking about Rush Limbaugh's video feed. And I started thinking about Rush Limbaugh's video feed. I mean, what is that? The guy's supposedly a, you know, top broadcaster guy, makes millions of dollars a year. You ever see that thing? It looks like down. It looks like he's shooting from Beirut. I mean, it is unbelievable. Whenever I see clips on TV of the Rush Limbaugh show, it looks like it's done with a small video recorder, and it's just on him locked down on one angle. And he's, you know, the big fatso. He's sitting there with the hands and the...
Yeah, banging his hands on his desk.
Yeah, and you watch it, and you go, like, wow, he's like... He must... I heard he pretends he's in New York, and he must... broadcast from, like, Russia. Like, people say it's Palm Beach, but
yeah,
I don't think
so. He's really saving money. He's out of the country.
And, I mean, with all that shit he sells, his audience, and all that crap...
Do you really think it sells?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. I could do an investigative piece.
Yeah.
I should get the news department to investigate.
Right, because I think it's up there, but I don't think... Who's buying that?
But every once in a while, you'll see a clip. Like, I know on Fox News, they'll show a clip of Rush Limbaugh.
And then he's
broadcasting, and it's like that pixelated, like his hands are like moving at low speeds, and it's grainy, and you're like, wow.
It's almost like TV wasn't invented yet. It's like the first television.
Like Rush Limbaugh's people can't go out and buy a decent, high-quality camera.
And he can't build a decent studio.
Nothing.
Where there's lighting or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's just him, and it's kind of boring. Because it's the same garbage over and over again.
Well, that's why you need angles and different shots.
I was busy yesterday. I had a big meeting with some cool folks.
Yeah?
Yeah. Two executives discussing some ideas for television.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, I really haven't wanted to do anything else. Like, between our TV show and our radio show... Really, what the hell else do you need to do? I mean, I'm not one of those grubby dudes that needs to be everywhere. And, I mean, I could be.
No, but you like to keep the quality high,
yeah.
So you don't spread it out.
Yeah, so I don't look like Rush Limbaugh's feed. Oh, it costs $50 a year or $7 a month for a subscription to Rush's video feed.
I thought you were going to say it costs $50 a year for Rush to tape it.
I mean, can you imagine? He takes a Fakakta video camera.
And charges $50?
$50. That guy will charge you for the air you breathe if it's anywhere near his fat body. He's vile. He's enormous, too. He's, like, getting big again.
He got big again?
Well, not like what he used to be, you know. He eats healthy now. What a bitch.
Bart Cop Radio.
But even with President Obama's troubles, nobody was prepared for this. Obama joins GOP? What? God, what a front runner. Actually, Obama just joined the GOP for lunch at a Baltimore conference where, obviously, behind closed doors, they will speak candidly to each other. It's the kind of stuff Americans don't get to see.
What were the old annual deficits under Republicans have now become the monthly deficits under Democrats.
Fact of the matter is that when we came into office, the deficit was $1.3 trillion. So when you say that suddenly I've got a monthly budget that is higher than the annual, or a monthly deficit that's higher than the annual deficit left by the Republicans, that's factually just not true. And you know it's not true. If you were to listen to the debate, and frankly how some of you went after this bill, you'd think that this thing was some Bolshevik plot. A lot of you have gone to appear at ribbon cuttings for the same projects that you voted against. Wasteful spending is usually spent somehow outside of your district. Have you noticed that? The spending in your district tends to seem pretty sensible. I couldn't find credible economists who would back up the claims that you just made. If you're calling for just across-the-board tax cuts, and then on the other hand saying that we're somehow going to balance our budget, I'm going to want to take a look at your math. The issue of deficit and debt is another area where there has been a tendency for some inconsistent statements. How's that?
I'll tell you how that is. That's f***ing awesome. President Obama insisted that by painting his programs as destroying America, Republicans have made it impossible for them to engage in meaningful problem solving with the president, or they risk being seen by constituents as accessories to that crime. But what about the programs Republicans are behind? For instance, some Republicans believe to control health care costs, we only need really one big fix.
I want to actually see some real tort reform.
I believe in tort reform.
We propose tort reform.
We need tort reform. The president won't even consider that in the bill.
The president's a tort lover.
I'm told, for example, that the solution to dealing with health care costs is tort reform. Something that I've said I am willing to work with you on, but the CBO or other experts say to me, you know, at best, this could reduce healthcare costs relative to where they're growing by a couple of percentage points, then you can't make the claim that that's the only thing that we have to do.
It's like he's seeing their talking points in bullet time. And you know what? He knew it. And they knew it.
Dr. Tom Price from Georgia, and then we'll have one more after that if your time permits, Mr. President.
You know, I'm having fun.
Okay.
This is great.
So, why should I leave? I'm dunking on you. You cannot stop me. Now, obviously, this type of candid give and take between the president and his political rivals is somewhat unprecedented in our pre-staged kabuki political culture. CNN carried it live start to finish. MSNBC carried it live start to finish. And, more than likely, replayed it at home using the slow-mo button with their pants off. And Fox, they carried it live for a while.
All the legislative proposals.
I understand that. I've actually read your bills.
Well, that's President Obama. He is meeting with House Republicans in Baltimore, answering a bunch of questions, everything from energy to health care. The president, at times, being a little bit combative.
We're going to cut away because this is against the narrative that we present. Now, obviously, I don't know. No, I don't. I don't know exactly how Fox News is produced. I can just only imagine that at some point they realized this event violated the Prime Directive, causing what I can only assume is a typically sedentary network exec to pack a year's worth of exercise into one feverish run down the hallway shouting, "Cut the feed!" Awesome.
Well, there you had it. Barcap Radio, show number 162 is in the can. Hope you liked it. Hope you liked parts of it. Before we go, I'd like to thank the subscribers and these and the people who throw the occasional check in the mail. Because as you know, without you, there'd be no Bark Up. I'd still be back at the car lot financing junk cars. Going to leave you with some really good guitar playing, and go figure, it's not Jimmy Page. First time I heard the song was 1974. I was walking in a record shop, and I thought, holy Christ, who is that guitar player? I knew it wasn't anything Zeppelin did. I have all their songs memorized, as you know. But walking in, I thought, who the hell is that on playing? Jesus, that sounds good. Turns out it was Jeff Beck. Did the same at the Grammys the other night. They did a tribute to my good friend Les Paul, which I thought was a nice thing to do. Funny, though, they could have had Jeff Beck play with Les Paul's band. I don't know what the band's doing these days, but I know there's another guitar player and a drummer and a bass player who lost their number one guitar player, and since Jeff Beck was the number one guitar player, it seemed like that would have been a good marriage for an evening, but we got what we got. What are you going to do? All right, this is Bart. I'm in K-Drag. I'm out of here. See you next show. Mm-hmm.